class before on Micah when I was younger, like 10 or 15 years ago or something, and there wasn't much expectation, I guess. And there's only a few chapters in Micah, you know, so it worked out a little better. And I taught one class just a standalone as well. And so when you're doing something like a sermon or a standalone, there's a definite beginning and an end to the preparation. For this one, there's an end, but it's not till the end of the year, it sounds like. And so I'm excited, though, because we're going to be looking at the life of Christ here. And, you know, we think, yeah, we know a lot about the life of Christ. But I'll tell you what, even on Christ's birth, I was reading about that this last week, you know, and maybe some of you have in the Bible readings. And I've just noticed it's amazing. Even the birth, if you really just dig in and you slow down and you reread it and you really study it, there's some crazy things and things that just blow your mind about even the birth of Christ. Something so simple that we've all known so much about, right? So I hope you'll be encouraged by the class. We'll start with a word of prayer, please. So can I get a volunteer to pray for us? Actually, I'll go ahead and say a prayer here. Well, I can't go backwards there. There we go. All right, shall we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity to study the Bible. We especially, though, thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity to study about your Son and the amazing life that he lived, Father, and the amazing circumstances that he came to this earth upon. Father, we pray that we can all be encouraged, that we can all be uplifted by your word, and we can encourage one another as we go through this class. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. All right. So I'll kind of warn you, I'm a teacher, elementary teacher or whatever, and so if I do something that's kind of like elementary-ish, that's why. I'm not trying to do it. It's just I've done it for 17 years, and so it's kind of in my blood or system. So don't be insulted if I do something that is elementary-ish or whatever. But again, it's great to see you guys, and I'm glad you're all sitting kind of close to someone who you can talk to, because you're going to need to talk to people for what we're going to do here. But the first lesson here is the birth of Christ, and I think that it's going to take us this week and maybe a little bit of next week to get through this material is kind of my prediction, but I'm ready to do the whole thing if we need to. Class norms are like kind of like rules, and these are things I wanted to go over, kind of like I like it to be if we're studying here. It says everyone will have a chance to interact and participate. I'd love for everybody to have a chance to talk. You don't have to talk in front of the class necessarily. You can talk with another person. I'm going to give you opportunities to do that. But I'd love for you to be able to communicate with other people. I'm someone, when I learn, I really need to process it. You know, I can learn and listen really well, but I need a chance to stop for a second and talk to somebody else about it and just think about it in my own brain for a second before I move on. So I'm hoping I'm going to give you those opportunities. So we'll try to share the floor with other people, like it says there. Stay on topic, you know, and I'll kind of get you back on in case we get off. But we're going to try to move through it at a fairly rapid pace, because I don't want to extend this more than 3 months for many reasons. One being that it's a lot of preparation. But I'd like to just continue flowing through it as much as possible. So we'll stay on topic and we'll make our comments as concise as possible. You know, just get to the point. So whenever possible, refer to the passages or the verses that you're talking about. You know, we're here in a Bible study, so we want to, as much as possible, refer to the Bible as we're talking about things, you know. So if you have a reference, try to look it up. Some people have their phones. They can't even Google it, you know. It's the best concordance, I guess, is Google now. You can type in a couple of words of the verse, and boom, it pops up, right? So if we could refer to those, be prepared if you can. It'd be great if you guys could bring something to write with. Even like a device to do something on. I'd like to play like a fun electronic game next week, testing some of your knowledge and seeing if you guys have been paying attention. Bring your Bible, obviously. Questions are just as important as comments. One thing is, I always feel afraid to ask questions. I feel like I'm not going to be, I don't know. Like I don't know a lot. And I don't know a lot about the Bible, by the way. I could learn so much, right? And so it's important that not only do we comment about things, but we also ask questions, because I'm sure many of us have questions as we're going through this. And those are totally okay. So feel free to ask questions. I'm not going to say I'm going to answer them myself. I'm hoping that there's other people here that will help us answer the questions. Or we could look it up for the next week if we can't find the answer, right? And maybe some questions we just won't find the answer, because that's the way God's designed the Bible. Some questions we just cannot answer. Maybe someday we'll be able to answer those after we leave this life. So let's go ahead and get started. What does the word disciple mean? I like you guys. We're going to do something called turn and talk, which is you just turn to somebody next to you and tell them what that word means to you. Okay, and I see most people are sitting next to someone that they can talk to. All right? So turn and tell them, what does the word disciple mean? I'll give you about 30 seconds or a minute. Go ahead. All right, can I get a couple of answers here? What does disciple mean? I can call on people here. I do that in my class. And I'm not going to do that, you know, but... A follower, very good. Yeah, you guys can shout them out, too. You don't have to raise your hand. Student?
An enthusiastic follower.
Yeah, I would say that there's an enthusiasm for the following of that person. It's hard to be a disciple when you're like, okay, I'll do it, you know.
And you have to stick to the teachings also. I think it's another part of that.
Yeah, very good, Carl. Yeah. You guys hit right on the head. You got Vine's expository dictionary definition here coming up. It says the literal definition is a learner, but also a disciple was not only a pupil, so you're not just learning, but like Carl says, you're an adherent. And hence they are spoken of as imitators of their teacher, right? Imitators of their teacher. So basically a disciple is someone who constantly strives to learn about and to be like a teacher. Now we're disciples of Christ, exactly. So who are we learning constantly about and to be like? Christ, exactly. And I really think that's the meat of Christianity. I believe it's a central point of Christianity is learning about Jesus and following Jesus. You know, that's why we're called Christians. You can hear Christ in the name. And those two words are synonymous with one another. In fact, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, right? Disciples were called Christians at that point. So Christ is really the point. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it says, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Again, we can see the Bible's showing us that it's important that Jesus' life is the center of Christianity. It's a focal point of everything we do. And what I'm trying to do is build a reason of why we've chosen this topic. I know Mike spoke on some evidences for Christ, and our brother Joel's preparing some stuff on the parables, and I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to skip over parables and allow him to cover that stuff. But all these things, again, the central point of Christianity is Christ. So let's see here. We'll be using, by the way, some materials here just to kind of give you some information of where I've got some of the materials I've used. I'm using an outline given by Gene Taylor. I basically used some of the verses he's used. He doesn't use every single thing about Christ's life. You know, if we did that, we'd read the Gospels, wouldn't we? But when we read all four of them. But we're going to pick and choose because we've only got so much time here and kind of give like more of a survey. And so he's pulled out some important parts of Christ's life, and I think he did a great job. So we'll be using an outline by him and some of the questions that he has to go along with the outline. We won't be using the whole thing, but some of it. And I've used some of Albert Barnes' notes just so you know I've read that particular commentary, and I'll be reading other commentaries too. But that commentary for this class I've used. So just so you know, that's where we got some of the material. Okay, so we're going to look at the announcement of Christ's birth at the very beginning here. So what we're going to do is we're going to split our class into two parts. We naturally have. And by the way, if you guys are in the back, if you would be so nice as to move up and join us, that'd be great. We're going to, for the next 3 months, Sunday mornings, we're going to be up in the front here together, hopefully in the first five pews or so. That'd be great. Or you can stay back there, and that's fine too, if that's what you choose to do. But you can see the arrow's pointing on this side of the class. So we have Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and the arrow over here is pointing to you guys. It says Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to read through the passage that your side has been assigned, okay? And I would like you to think about what's the main idea of the passage, what are some of the main events happening, what are some observations that you've made. It may be questions you have or applications. You don't have to think about all those things, but those are some ideas of things that you might think about. So, and then I'd also like you, as soon as you spend about a minute reading that, it'll probably take a minute, minute and a half, I timed myself reading it there. I'd like you to talk to the person next to you about those kinds of things. I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes, and you're going to teach the other side of the class about your passage. So I'm going to kind of relieve myself of the duties of being a teacher here and allow you guys to be the teacher. So I'd like you to go ahead again and read your passage there, and then talk to the person next to you about some of these particular points up there. That'd be great. All right? So I'll let you guys go ahead and do that. And I apologize to anyone listening to this because it's not going to be a very good class to listen to online, I guess. I wish my students were this quiet in class. It'd be sure nice. Make for an easier day. All right, if you guys could go ahead and finish up your conversations here, and we'll get back together in about 15 seconds. All right, so what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to put responsibility, not on just me, the teacher, to get the information out of this text, but to all of us as learners, right? All of us as Bible students. And hopefully you all have the chance to really think deeply about it and communicate about the text. And you're doing a great job of that. Thanks for doing that. Not something... kind of looking at the two different texts here. Going over to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. What was that about? What was the main idea in that passage? They haven't read it, so we got to give them some information about it on this side of the class.
The birth of Jesus.
Okay, about the birth of Jesus. And that's the main idea, I think. Very good, Linda. Okay. And what do we find out? Is this any ordinary child?
No.
This is a special child, right? God's child. So, and it's very much shown in that passage, I believe, that we have God's child, because it talks about that Mary was, given with child by the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, it says at the very end, found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Okay. What are some other things you guys had? Anything you noticed about it? All right, so, think about Mary. What if you were in her shoes? And God's chosen you to bear his child, right? How would you feel? And this is a weird situation, too, something that's never happened before, a virgin birth, and all of a sudden now you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit here, and you have God's child. I mean, how would that feel? Joe? Yeah, very good. Yeah, Mary has a very humble heart, you can see throughout this passage here. Awesome. Exactly. Yeah, very good. Linda?
I might be jumping.
Yeah, very good. That's very encouraging too, isn't it? Anything else? Yeah, what verse was that in, Melissa?
33.
Okay. Very good. Anything else from our side over here from Luke chapter 1? All right, how about from Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 through 25 there?
Can I throw something from Luke 2?
Sure, if you want. Actually, if you guys have any questions for this side, you can ask some questions as well. Okay, great observation. Okay, let's go over to this side now. We have Matthew chapter 1, like we said. What are some things you guys noticed in your passage? If everybody wants to flip over to Matthew chapter 1 so we can see it as they're talking about it there. Matt. It's okay, brother. Yeah. Oh, I don't feel like that at all, brother. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. A lot of times it's embarrassing, especially those things that, you know, some of the struggles, we can readily admit them to people, can't we, right? Because they're not really that big of a deal, you know. I struggle with keeping my yard nice or something like that. But there's struggles that are deeper that it's almost embarrassing, right? That you might struggle with on a regular basis. And we do kind of hide those, don't we, sometimes? But all of us have them. All of us have those struggles. Andrew.
Righteous man. Mm-hmm. He was a righteous man. It'd
be death for Mary.
It could have been death for Mary.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I intended actually to read this before you guys told us your side or whatever. So let me just read this passage so you guys can get some information about it. Otherwise, we're just going blind here in the dark about what they're talking about. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and she called his name Jesus. All right, so anything else you guys want to say? Any main points, main events that happened through there? Joel? Okay. Yeah, because here we see, in this passage, we see Joseph's interaction and him being told about the birth of Jesus, right? And in the previous passage, we notice that Mary's told about the birth of Jesus, as you guys had read, right? And so there's two different ways, again, two different focuses, I guess, on who's being presented the message in each of these passages. And you're saying, Joel, that it was an angel in this case, right? And a dream in Joseph's case.
It was an angel and a dream in Joseph's
okay.
case. It was an angel face-to-face with Mary in her case.
So is there any significance in that? Yeah, Jeff? Yeah, right on. That's a great explanation, Jeff. Thanks. Terry? Yeah. Matt, you want to say something back? Yeah, one of the things when you read the Bible, if you can kind of put yourself in the person's shoes and feel what they're feeling, you get so much more out of it, don't you? And that's kind of what somebody else was saying over here, that Joseph, I mean, this had never happened before. Nobody had ever been, had a virgin birth, right? This is the very first time ever. And this is, Joseph, Mary, maybe she was unfaithful to him in some way, shape, or form. He obviously wasn't with her. He would know that, right? And so the only other possibility is that she was with someone else or it was a virgin birth. And so it really took a lot of faith in his part to believe in something that had never happened before. And what a righteous man Joseph was, that right away, he just, like Terry says, he just goes at it and he does what he's commanded to do. Carl?
I was just thinking about that too. I talked to Bill about it.
Yeah.
Before what he was told.
What a great point, because again, Mary had her way of being informed. Joseph had his way of being informed. If they were to talk to each other about what had happened to them, but, hey, this happened to me. Oh, really? Because this happened to me. I mean, I could totally see that happening. It's not in the scripture here, but it's definitely a very big possibility with married couples that they would do that, right? Andrew? Yeah. And quietly at that, even that shows Joseph's character, doesn't it? We get an insight into what kind of a guy he was. Sorry, what was your name?
Linda,
go ahead.
I have a question on verses 22 and 23.
Okay.
Yeah,
Joel, actually, didn't you ask the same thing, Joel, over there? Yeah. Is it possible that he could have access? What do you guys think? I mean, again, this is stipulation, so we don't know for sure, but what do you think, Jeff?
Okay.
Yeah. Lee, you want to say something there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's see here. Move on. So let's ask a couple of questions in review. What was Joseph of a mind to do when he learned that Mary was with child, and why? This is put her away. Why did he want to put her away? Yeah, keep her from being embarrassed, being stoned. Joe?
Well, two things. I want to go back on the timeline.
Okay.
Elizabeth.
All right. I'm going to move on to the next question here. What was Joseph told to name the child and why? What was he told to name the child and why? Yes?
He was told the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Moving on here. So what was Mary's question when she was told she would bear a son? And this is going to be in the book of Luke here. What was Mary's question when she was told she would bear a son? And what was the response that was given to her?
How can this be?
And what response was given to her?
God.
Yep, exactly. We had stated that earlier. So a little deeper level question here. Yeah, let's go to Psalm. Everybody go to Psalm, verse 37. I want to read that 5 through 6 here. Psalm 37, 5 through 6. Psalm 37, 5 through 6. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your judgment as the noonday. So the question is, what do Mary's circumstances tell us about the character of God? And of course, how is this relevant to our lives? So what does that tell us about the character of God, the things that Mary went through? Oh, sorry, what was that, Linda?
In her life, it says trust in God.
Okay.
That God can be trusted. He will come through with his promises.
So God is faithful. He can be trusted. The character of God can be revealed there. What else can we reveal in the character of God? In Mary's circumstances. You know, I really think of Mary here as, I mean, she's not really accused yet, but she's almost falsely accused of something, isn't she? Not totally, but here she is with a child, and she's almost accused of being unfaithful to Joseph, of being with child out of wedlock. And so you have somebody who's falsely accused, but yet is the truth brought out eventually? Yeah, so at first, it seems like this is a bad situation for Mary. Here she is, and she's with child, and she's possibly maybe going to face death here. Joseph's going to put her away, and this is somebody who she really loves, and so that relationship is going to be broken apart there. And this isn't a bad situation, and Mary's like, I didn't do anything, you know? There's nothing I did to deserve this. Have you ever felt that way? I didn't do anything. There's nothing I felt to deserve this. You felt like justice was not served. But was justice served with Mary? Yeah, we talk about her today as a mother of Christ, right? Or she bore Christ, essentially, the earthly mother of Christ. And what a privilege that is. And so I think her character, it was turned around for the good, wasn't it? And so we can see how God works a bad situation, but he brings justice out eventually. It might not come out right away, but eventually the truth came out. And I think that's something we can learn about Mary's circumstance here. One more question. What kind of family did God choose for Jesus to be born into? This one is the one that kind of blew me away as I was studying this. Let's describe Joseph and Mary and the family that we've got. Where do they live?
Nazareth.
What kind of town was Nazareth? How many people live there? Yeah, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And I've read different things about 300-400 people. There wasn't very many people there. In fact, it wasn't really a well-known city. You probably ask somebody in Jerusalem about Nazareth, and they might not know about it, I would assume. But it wasn't a place that was well-known. It was nothing good comes out of it. And so you look at the situation of where he was born. If I was going to design a story, if I was a story writer, and I wanted to contrive the Bible and make something up, I would probably have this king born in the grandest of places. Maybe coming down out of the clouds. Maybe Jesus, when he came to earth, he'd walk down like a staircase. I don't know, I'm just making this up. Out of the clouds, when everybody could see, everybody knows this here is Jesus, and he is here to bring salvation to the earth. Wouldn't that be more of a man-made story? But that's not how it happened, is it?
What?
Yeah, that would be more of out of Hollywood, wouldn't it? Their rendition of Jesus and how he was born. What else about Jesus' story is improbable besides the fact that he came out of Nazareth, which again, you quoted, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. What else was improbable about his story? Unlikely. How about Mary and Joseph? Were they famous people? Were they kings, queens? Joseph's from a lineage where he has kings in his lineage, but he's not a king himself, is he? And yet, Jesus is born to these parents, almost hardly known. Again, if I was writing the story, I think I would have done it differently and had him born of some famous people or some kings or somebody of notoriety, yet he was not born of that situation. What else? Where was Jesus born? Oh, I guess I'm jumping ahead here, but where was Jesus born? In a stable. And I guess that's coming up, but that's one of the amazing things is in a manger, but his bed probably was an animal feeding trough. Think about that. Have you been to the Puyallup Fair? The fair just how many of you guys went to the fair? I know Dan knows about this, right? He knows all about this kind of thing. Dan, are those troughs very clean? No, they're not. They're not clean at all, are they? These troughs are not clean. And yet, that's where they had to put their baby. It's a place that they had. Why? Because there was a census being taken, which we're going to get to here. All the people were going to their original towns, and Joseph was from Bethlehem, so they go there, and there wasn't room for them anywhere else, because you can imagine all the people coming into town that were there to have the census taken, and so they had to go in the manger, right? And yet, here Jesus is, he's in a trough, an animal feeding trough. That's his bed where he begins sleeping in his life. Is that where you would put the Son of God? No. To me, this is crazy, Jesus' birth. The more you look into this, the more improbable it seems, and the more that I think only God could have put the story together. This is something only God could have done. It's a proof that Jesus is real, and he was the Son of God. And that's really the point of the class today, is that we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Bill, you want to say something there? Yes. And much of his life was humble, too. I mean, it was very, very much, he wasn't in the forefront of things, just the people that followed him and knew about him, but not to most of the world, right? Yeah, if you look at Joseph and Mary, their character just beams out of them that they are followers of God. They're willing to listen. They're submitting to God, right? And yeah, I get that. Very good. I didn't think about the spiritual family aspect, but that's, you're right about that. All right, and what does it mean when it says, what Mary mean when she says, "Behold, a bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." So go back over to Luke here so we can find that. All right, so who can find that passage there? Okay, verse 38 says, and again, I quoted it there, "Behold, a bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Again, what does this show about Mary, this particular thing that she says? Humility and submission. So what application does this have for us?
It's a good example.
Exactly, yeah. We see an example of the kind of humility that really we're asked to carry in our lives too. And in the circumstances of Joseph and Mary, these were tough to have. I mean, a lot of us are married here. If my spouse is unfaithful to me, that would be a really tough situation to go through. You know, that would be a real strain on the marriage. And yet, through that situation, through it all, Joseph and Mary, or especially Joseph, is very faithful and righteous. And he listens to God and he trusts him. He says, "Okay, if that's the way you say it was, Lord, if you say it was a virgin birth, all right, I will accept her as my wife and we'll go through with your plan." But man, what faith that would have taken if you really, really think about it and dig in. All right, so let's move on here. And I guess, let's see here, how do you, well, anyways, what I intended to do is, again, read through these two passages and have us each take a look and teach each other. Again, we're going to skip that. I'm just going to read the passage here real quick. And it says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 2, verses 1, I believe, through 10 here. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was with him, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And through verse 12 here, "Then Herod secretly called the Magi." Is it Magi or Magi? Magi, I think, right? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Magi.
Magi, okay. If I'm wrong about something, let me know. "Magi, and determined from them the exact time the star appeared, and sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen from the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." All right, so I want you to turn and tell somebody next to you about the applications, things you notice, what's the main idea of this particular passage. Go ahead. There you go. All right, so what's the main idea of this passage? What's the main thing we can grab out of it? Sorry, I cut you guys off. We're short on time here, so we're going through. Bill? Exactly. If it doesn't work one way, he's going to find another. It's going to work. Excellent. Yeah, what kind of a guy was Herod?
He was a bad guy,
wasn't he? Yeah, he did. I don't know if Herod believed that Jesus was the Son of God or he was, you know, from heaven or anything, but he just knew that there was this guy coming along, that his name was King of the Jews, and King of the Jews meant he wasn't going to be king anymore. And I think that's why he took these actions. I don't think, you know, if he would have believed there was a God, I don't think he would have taken the actions he had in the first place throughout his life. But he was a murderer, wasn't he? I mean, didn't he kill his own family? His mother-in-law, father-in-law, his wife, his sons. In fact, at his own death, do you know what he did? I read this the other day. He knew that none of the Jews would be sad about him dying, rightfully so. They'd probably be like, yay, this guy's dead, right? Because all he did is create, you know, death and destruction in his path. And so what does he do? He grabs a bunch of Jews, leaders or prominent people, and he gathers them together and holds on to them when he's about to die. And he says, when I breathe my last breath, kill these people too. And then they'll have something to cry about. You know, so this is not in the Bible. This is what I read in one of the commentaries. But he wasn't a very nice guy, was he? Andrew? Yeah, I can imagine with the Jews too. Remember, they're dispersed all over. I would believe that they'd had their scriptures and stuff carried along. And I'm sure a lot of people would have heard, even if they're not Jews, of this king that's coming, right? They would have heard stories of this maybe or instances of this happening. And I believe that the Magi did hear this. But of course, like Andrew, you said, if I'm hearing you right, that they were looking for him in a palace. And of course, they get there and they can't find him there. And so they have to go somewhere else. But again, Jesus' life is not a Hollywood production. It's not something that you and I would have designed in this particular story. Don?
You notice.
All right. Well, that ends our class for the day. And if you guys have any questions, you can let me know or suggestions, you know, maybe let me know. You can email me or whatever. And we'll do those verses that we send out. Are those something you guys would like me to continue to do? It kind of builds up to what the next class is going to be about. We're going to talk more about the birth of Jesus, and we might get into John the Baptist a little bit. And again, I'm going to tell you guys that I'm not an expert on any of this stuff, okay? Some of this stuff you're talking about, I don't even understand what you're talking about, to be honest with you. A couple of the comments here, they're over my head. And that's why I'm depending on you guys to help me out, because I don't have, I'm not the know-all in this circumstance. And there's plenty of people in here that know more than me. So I'm hoping to draw on your knowledge and your expertise in this class. And so I do appreciate the comments you've been given. And forgive me if I've been wrong about something or whatever, but we'll do the best we can. All right. Class is dismissed.